So, Hare Krishna, this is Bhanadhar Swami, and I'm speaking to you from Moscow, at my center in Moscow, called the Shanti Shakti. So, I arrived a few days ago, and I'm being so well loved and taken care of. And right now, I'm in the middle of a class every day here. It's being translated, so it will have a little bit of a different pace, but I wanted you all to get something. But the Shanti Shakti is a very beautiful place. I'm sitting in the Satsang Hall. Very beautiful. Almost like mud walls, like India. And many sofa couches around. A beautiful fireplace, and very nice. So I'm speaking here on Sunday. I spoke 2 days here already. And my friends from Moscow have come to hear. See? I'm seeing that just like when I'm in New York, so many of the people that come, I've met them first in Vrindavan. So here I'm seeing at least 6, 7 people, 8 people maybe, who I met first in Vrindavan. It's very wonderful. In fact, the lady who is here, my disciple Ananda, I met her for the first time in Govardhan. Her name is Ananda Govardhan. So, that's Prabhupada's mercy, that you have a frame of reference with people, that they tasted that sweetness of Vrindavan. Even when I mention the word Vrindavan, their eyes light up. Smiles in their faces go from ear to ear. And they feel great separation from Vrindavan, as many of you do. And it's very nice because from here, it's only, I think, 4 hours to India. So next Sunday, I will go to India and directly to Vrindavan, where a group of 25 people from New York will meet me there. Many for the first time. And as always happens, whether the groups are from Russia or whether the groups are from America, so many of the people become devotees of Krishna. Because Vrindavan is just so sweet in the nectar of devotion. Bhakti Rasa Mitra Sindhu, it says that there are 5 most potent items of devotional service. One of them is Mathura Bhas, to stay in Vrindavan. And it says that even a neophyte, one who has little attachment, if they practice these items without offense. Bhava can come into their hearts. Very, very high devotion can come in their hearts. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan, and this old Jewish man came. And he looked exactly like his name would indicate. His name is Shlomo. And I don't know, somehow or other he got this idea, let me see India. And he came into the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he looked at the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. And he began to cry uncontrollably. He experienced Bhava. And he became a great devotee. His name is Vishuddha Sattva. And his favorite devotional service is to cook what's called galanga potatoes. Loves prasadam. But it's Bhava. So I can see here so many people were touched. It says that way. If someone comes to the holy land of Vrindavan, transcendental feelings will arise. You know that my mother came to Vrindavan? She had no frame of reference for Indian things. When I took her to the temple and tried to show her the deities, she could only look at the chandeliers. She couldn't see anything else. But one day, I came to get her at the guest house, and she told me a terrible thing happened last night. I said, what happened? She said, I can't tell you. I said, Mother, tell me what happened. She said, I'm ashamed to admit it. I said, please tell me what happened. She said, I can't say. I said, Mom, tell me what happened. She said, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was chanting Hare Krishna. And then she looked at me and said, I could have killed myself. You have to understand, Jewish mother. So, it's so nice wherever I go, even when I give class in New York now, so many people have been to Vrindavan. Yeah. Okay, so we'll read from the Bhagavatam. While I'm here, I'm going to be doing the 10th canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Gotcha. Would you be more comfortable up here? You'll be okay? Okay. Okay. Shri Svabhito Rajan Api guyam vadami te. Guyas migdasya shishyasya kurava guyam atyata. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. Spiritual masters, explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. So the great king, Maharaj Prickett, is in the last days of his life. And he's trying to understand what to do. Not just understand what to do, but be able to do it. Tatshradayana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. It says that you have to have knowledge and detachment. Without knowledge, you don't know what to do. Without discipline, you can't do it. So in bhakti, you have to focus your mind on Krishna. And this takes faith. Faith means a trust. A trust in sublimity. Why will you do anything if you don't feel it will give you happiness? And sometimes the things that give us happiness, they take a lot of work. Why will you do it if you don't have faith? But faith is not I believe or I don't believe. It's a belief based on experience. Why do you believe a doctor if you believe a doctor? Because you had some experience that he's an authority in medical science. So why will you focus your mind on Krishna unless there's some experience that there is sublimity or happiness there? So Maharaj Prickett wants to know what to do, and he wants the ability to do it, and therefore he is hearing from his teacher or guru with faith, and he's getting knowledge, the understanding that this is the correct thing to do, and he's getting the experience of the sublimity of doing it. And what's happening now, he's not eating, he's not drinking. This is an amazing thing.
because the reason he is going to die is because he was thirsty and became insulted when his son did not give him water. He was so bewildered. He didn't realize that the sadhu was meditating. And he got so angry, he threw a dead snake around his neck. All because he was thirsty. And when that thirst was frustrated, he became angry. And now, this must be about the fifth day, he's not drinking water, and he's not disturbed at all. Why? Because he has divine love. Why do we want things? Because we feel there's something lacking in us. Why do we want food? Because we're hungry. We need food. So, we seek things because we feel there's something missing. Unfortunately, we don't know what is missing. What is missing is love. But we think what is missing is money, is sex life, is position, is computers, big cars. Those things, what we're really missing is a heart filled with love. And when you have that in your heart, Tvasmin Padama Prema Rup, Narada Bhakti Sutras. What is bhakti? Padama Prema Rup. It's the form of the topmost love for God. And when you have that in your heart, you're completely satisfied. You have no desires, you have no lamentations, you're completely happy. He has that in his heart. And how is he getting it in his heart? He's hearing about that love from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's so wonderful that he never gets tired of it. And therefore, his guru is seeing his faith. How is he seeing his faith in bhakti? Because he's always eager to hear about bhakti. He's always eager to speak about bhakti. That's what makes someone advanced. What is a soul that's elevated in consciousness? It's the soul whose heart is filled with the most selflessness and devotion. Today I took a walk. When I come to Moscow, I relax. I have a beautiful room upstairs. And what food I want gets cooked with love. I don't have to park my car when I preach in America.
I drive my car into New York City, and I have to find a parking space. I don't have to think of these things. Now I'll tell you a funny scene from a movie. Now, it's New York humor. I don't know if it will translate into Russian. So I'll try. Did you ever hear of a comedian named Woody Allen? Is it? Okay. This is Moscow. Did you ever hear of a comedian called Vinokur? My name, I'm telling to the people here listening. My name. My legal name is Vinokur. I didn't know. But now I know. It's one of the most famous comedians in Russia. They're all shaking their head and laughing. Anand, can you get me like a video of that? All right? I just want to see. I won't. Okay. So here is the dream. Okay? It's a street in New York. And it's always anxiety. So he's having a nightmare, Woody Allen. And in the nightmare, there's six pallbearers. They carry coffins. Yeah. People who carry a coffin. And he's in the coffin. And it's the middle of the night, and he's going down a quiet street right in the middle of New York City. And there's cars on either side. And then he sees a parking spot. So he's going to back into the parking spot. So people are laughing. Okay. So they stop, and then the pallbearers go back. And as he's about to go into the spot, another coffin comes in and takes the spot. It's a big hit. Everyone is laughing. I didn't know if they could see. But now I don't know what that has to do with my class. But we'll get back. We'll get back to the class. So he's satisfied. He has faith. And what is faith? Faith is where you take your sangha. It's what you join your consciousness with. It's where you open your heart. And wherever you open your heart, that's what will come into your heart. So he has faith in the message of Krishna, in the philosophy of Vedas, and he's opening his heart. And therefore, his heart is being filled with bhakti. And when you have love, you want to hear and talk about the object of your love. So one who loves God, one who loves Krishna, he's always chanting and hearing about Krishna, about God.
And he's feeling so much happiness because it's giving him bhakti. And bhakti is happiness. So his guru is watching. And he's seeing this quality. And he's marking him. I can give him everything I have. Because he has faith. And that faith will enable him to understand it. To understand things takes work. You have to think. How is this true? Because we don't have full knowledge. So a lot of knowledge will be beyond our vision of what is true. Think in your own life. How did you get whatever faith you have? It's not that you just analyze things. You experience things. So he's experiencing bhakti, sublimity in this message. And he's hearing the philosophy, and his doubts are being cleared. So he has no hesitation to open his heart to the truth. And therefore his guru is seeing his service. When you have the mood of service, real service, it is showing your heart of devotion. Just like one great Vaishnava, Rupa Goswami, he can compose the most beautiful poetry in the world. In fact, I'm telling the audience here, right now with this group, mostly America, but different parts of the world, they're calling into conference call, and they're listening. We were studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya's when Lord Chaitanya was with Rupa Goswami. And people were amazed at Rupa Goswami's poetry. Both the depth of his inspiration and the beauty of his expression of it. If you read his poetry, your hairs will stand on end. But when they saw how beautiful it was, they knew he must have received mercy. Because you can't have that depth of realization without blessings of a great soul. And they looked at Lord Chaitanya. They said, he got mercy. He must have gotten your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes. I've seen the service he does. If some of you know great devotees, see what their mood of service is.
Вы знаете, что они находятся в состоянии служения.
when Prabhupada was on Parikram with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his guru, they were at Koshi, which is Nanda Maharaj's treasury. And there's a beautiful deity there called Seshayi Vishnu. And then they said, it's time for the Parikram. And everyone went on the Parikram. But three people stayed back. As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati continued to talk. When Prabhupada took initiation, the person, the temple president, started to explain to Bhakti Siddhanta who Prabhupada was. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, yes, I know who he is. I have marked him. He likes to hear. So the two main symptoms of bhakti is that you like to hear about spiritual topics. And you like to serve. That's an expression of your faith. And when the guru or teacher sees that, he can give you deeper and deeper and deeper knowledge. It is not the advancement, it's just scholarship. I am not going to put down scholarship. Devotional scholarship. And I'm not going to say that it is not very good. I'm not going to say that one should not learn Sanskrit. It's very helpful to study Shastra. But it is not the qualification for bhakti. The qualification for bhakti is a simple heart that serves. Anyway, today I took a walk. Every morning here I walk to the bus stop. And I walk back. And I'm listening to a tape. And I'm listening to Prabhupada. And he's saying like that. That it's not scholarship. By hearing the Shastra, we gain fame. And we have to hear the sacred text to gain fame. And obviously, there are certain things that facilitate it, including knowing the original language. But it's not the qualification. The qualification is one's desire to hear and one's service. And Prabhupada gave the example of Prakasananda Saraswati. When he looked at Lord Chaitanya and said, why are you just chanting and dancing? Why don't you study Vedanta? You see, because Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he was only 24 years old. And he was very good looking. That's very difficult for a sannyasi. To be young and handsome, you have to worry about that person. In fact, in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada gave sannyas to many young men, and very few remain sannyas. There used to be a picture in Prabhupada's room of Prabhupada standing with all these young sannyasis. After Prabhupada left, someone stole that picture or took it down, because most of them did not remain sannyas, renounced monks. And Prabhupada even said, my godbrothers would criticize me sometimes, but one thing, they were correct. I gave too many young men sannyas. The celibate monks. He said, but what could I do? And he quoted a Bengali proverb. When there are no trees in the forest, the castor oil tree looks big. You understand? When he had no qualified people, what could he do? So Lord Chaitanya was very young, and he was very handsome. You saw pictures of Lord Chaitanya? So they thought, why not train him in Vedanta? Because when you have impulses that you have to control, one way to control them is build up the intelligence, the buddhi. So generally, a sannyasi, they study Vedanta, philosophical knowledge, so that they can control their minds. But Lord Chaitanya said to Prakasananda Saraswati, I came to my guru, and when I came to my guru, I told him, I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm chanting, I'm dancing, chanting the holy name. And his guru said that this is very good. By chanting the name of Krishna, one will see the lotus feet of Krishna. And then his guru said, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Natsdeva, Natsdeva, Natsdeva. In this age of God, there's no other way. The kirtan. And then he looked at Lord Chaitanya and said, now I will give you a verse that expresses the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. And then he quoted from the 11th canto. Evam vrata svapriya nama kritya chitanu raga. It says in this way, without any attachment, without any inhibition, shyness. Evam vrata svapriya. You take a vow, Supriyanam, to chant the names of your beloved Lord. Because if you chant the names of your beloved Lord, you will be absorbed in it. The efficacy of a yogic process is the facility it gives you to become absorbed. So you become absorbed. That's meditation. The more you're absorbed in the object of your meditation, the more your mind becomes transformed. So he said, in this way, Chitanu Raga, from this is born the deep love in the heart. The perfection in life. Anyway, here Sukadeva Goswami is saying, I have marked you. You like to hear. You're never tired of hearing. You have faith in this message. And therefore, I will explain to you very confidential subjects that are difficult to understand, which is the intimate pastimes of Krishna. Because if we just look at them through the experience we have of this world, we'll tend to see them as mundane or mythological. But he has faith that Maharaj Prickett will try to understand them deeply, beyond just what his mind may project on them. And what are the pastimes of Krishna? They're the expressions of the highest form of love, which is called rasa. What is rasa? Rasa means, in poetics, in theater, rasa means an overwhelming experience. And it also means an aesthetic experience. What's an overwhelming experience? Tragedy. All you can think of is the bad that has happened. The loss that you feel. Romance. All you can feel about is the object of your attachment. Chivalry. All you can think of is the heroism, the patriotism. But rasa in the Bhagavatam is bhakti rasa. It's the overwhelming experience of devotion. And what the teachers of the Bhagavatam tell us, that this experience of overwhelming love for God, which is so consuming, the previous verse said, just like a materialistic person can only think of the opposite sex, in the same way, a devotee like Maharaj Prickett can only think and talk about God. And what's being said here is, that's the ultimate reality. When you become free from illusion, when you actually realize God, it's not just an intellectual thing. You feel God. And what do you feel? You feel your love for God. And it's a natural love, because it's the inherent love in the soul. That love, that existential love, that type of love, this love for God, this consuming experience of affection for God, and for everything else, because nothing is outside of the energy of God. Prabhupada in one purport of the Bhagavad Gita said, a real devotee will be thrilled at every moment. Because he'll be feeling God. Jiva Goswami says that there's two ways to read the Bhagavatam. For knowledge and experience. What knowledge do we need? We need to surrender to God. And until we surrender to God, we won't have the experience of God. So he says, initially we read for instructions. But when we get faith in the message, which means to take shelter of God, then we read the Bhagavatam in a whole other way. We read it in terms of experiencing our relationship with God, with
Krishna.
You're feeling God. And when you hear the instructions, it's not instructions. It's God. And you're feeling God. So Maharaj Pariksit's at this state. And what is the symptom? He likes to hear. And that's what Bhakti Siddhanta said about Prabhupada. He likes to hear. And he gets an attraction. So now I'm going to say a little bit of the story. Not too much. And then we'll have a little kirtan. So we'll read the story. It's an incredible story. When I was in New York, I had a beautiful retreat. I'll show you some. I'm sure you'll come again. Next time you come, I'll show you. It's very beautiful. Mostly new type people. Like Jagadish's yoga tour, tours of India. And then a little bit when you get a little interested. And that quality of people. But every day I spoke about Krishna Lila. But in a way that they should appreciate. And I explained to them, everyone here is looking for pleasure. And what is pleasure? Pleasure is love. Selflessness. Can anyone say they have pleasure when lust or selfishness comes from their heart, through their hearts? You can have a pleasure, but you can't have a current of happiness. Real happiness is something different. And real happiness is even experienced in happiness and distress externally. Because happiness is the love in your heart. It's not necessarily what happens externally. So we see that that's our, the principle, our guiding principle. If you don't have love in your heart, you're not happy in any situation that you're in. And the real love should be an eternal love.
Eternal.
Otherwise, there'll be some duality in it. Because the object of your love will be gone. So in our relationships, for that love to be real rich, it has to be connected to God in some way. So, if that is the principle here, why should it not exist in the ultimate source of everything? And therefore, the one harmonious whole reality, God, must have some distinctions, some duality. For the purpose of love, there must be some beauty. There must be loving exchange. And that's what the pastimes of Krishna are. So we'll just read. Then, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Agasura, who is death personified, Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the Jamuna and spoke the following words. I think we'll continue the story. But it's an amazing story. I'll just tell you one of my favorite parts. You know, Lord Brahma steals the calves from the cowherd boy. And then he comes back after a year of his time, after a moment of his time, and in the year of the earth time, he sees Krishna has manifest into all the cows, boys, and calves. Which is an incredible mystic power. Because it says he had to duplicate each person's voice. Every part of them. Their personalities, their habits. But just imagine trying to duplicate my voice. Or any voice, but especially mine. But not only that, but the mind, the habits, the characteristics. At a particular time, Krishna shows him
that he duplicated into all the cowherd boys and calves. And they all manifest into Vishnu forms. And it's an amazing thing. Because what does he see around God? What he sees around God are the devotees doing kirtan. And then he sees that God smiles at them with his white teeth and looks at them with his red eyes. And what it says, the red eyes indicate spiritual passion. That Krishna creates the desires in one's heart. When you love someone, they create the desires in your heart. Because if you want to serve one, you have to want the same thing they do. So God's desires come into your heart. That's love. I want to serve. And you take another's desires into your heart. That's so different than the material consciousness. Where we want everyone to take our desires in their hearts. Isn't it beautiful when you see a person who has the desires of others in his heart? They're hungry. He wants to feed them. His desire becomes their desire. So God, he sees God is putting desires into their hearts. And then he's smiling. And that's spiritual goodness. And he's maintaining those desires. Prabhupada is writing this on his deathbed. Not deathbed, because Vaishnavas are so, but at the end of his life. And Prabhupada starts to meditate on the